What is it that you would say you worry about the most? Would you be one that would worry about your health? Would it be bills? Would it be your children and their health and their future? You know, the reality of every one of us, we live in these human bodies, and as long as we live in these human bodies, we are prone to worry. And yet, whenever you look in the Sermon on the Mount, and you look in chapter 6, and you look and begin verse 25, Jesus has a very serious word to you and to me when it comes to worry. And so if you'll take your Bible and follow along with me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, listen carefully to what our Lord says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now I want you to look in the Living Bible. I'm not going to read all of the same text, but I want to read at least the first three or four verses. I want you to listen to what it says and how it says it in this vernacular, which is so down to earth that you and I can hear it. So my counsel is, don't worry about things, food, drink, clothes, for you already have life and a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. Look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't need to sow or reap or store up food. For your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than they are. Well, there's a reality in every one of our lives that we have the propensity, the potential to worry. That's not too many times in a day that you'll hear somebody say something like this: I'm so worried about the future. I'm so worried about what's going on in our country. I'm so worried about my family. I'm so worried about my job. I don't know if I'll have a job this time next year. I'm so worried about making ends meet. And the reality of it is there are so many times we say things, and I think sometimes, you know, we may say that. We may not really actually mean exactly the way we're saying, but here's the reality. Every one of us have that potential to worry. Every one of us are going to live in these human bodies until the day we breathe our last breath, and if you're a Christian, you go home to be with the Lord. Now, I can't say that if you're not a Christian, because that's not the same location for every person, because the Bible says that there are going to be many that don't enter heaven. But Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who know him by name. He's speaking to those who have a relationship with him, and he is giving them a directive. He's giving them a command, and I want you to listen carefully, because when you look at this passage of Scripture, it gets very sobering, and it gets very candid, and it gets very, very pointed. Because when you look in the King James Version, Jesus just makes it very clear in the very first First verse, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, when you look in this first verse, the very first principle that comes out of this is this. There is to be no worry in your life. Now, one of the first things we will do is say something like this. Well, yes, I know that, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. Is this Jesus your Savior and my Savior? Yes, he is. If he gives you a command and me a command, then here's what he does. He gives with that same command his power and his ability to not do that. So, you know, don't dare think for a moment that Jesus gives you a command, because here's what we say. Well, I just can't help but worry. Do you realize you just called Jesus a liar? Do you realize that? When you say, well, I can't help but worry. So you're saying that Jesus misunderstood your circumstance and your situation, and he don't really know you and your crisis. Well, that's not true. He knows every one of us, and he is the one who has created us. So whenever you look in this passage of scripture, one of the very first things that Jesus directs us, he says, I want to give you this declaration, this command for you not to worry about your life. Now, sometimes somebody will say, well, so does that mean I just live a free life and I just go on my merry way? You know better than that, because, I mean, after all, do you get an income by just living a merry life? No, you get up and you go to work, you do your job, and at the end of the week, you get a paycheck, or end of 2 weeks, you get a paycheck, or a month, however yours is set up. But Jesus is telling us, he said, I'm not telling you not to plan. In other words, you know, you plan. I mean, think about it a moment. You know, just the clothes you have on your back, somebody designed those. You know, you go to a hair salon, or you go to a barber, and they say, you know what, I don't know how to barber, but can I just whack around on you a little bit? Well, what would you do? You would get up. You want somebody that's studied, that knows something, so they can make you look presentable after you get up. So, you know, a wise person is not lazy. A wise man, a wise woman is not lazy. And in this passage of scripture, Jesus said, I want to tell you there is to be no worry at all about your life. And I'll give you some reasons. First and foremost, first of all, Jesus is warning because preoccupation with those things of life. There is a tendency on the part of every one of us to become preoccupied with things. Just in prayer request a few moments ago, someone talked about a spouse who turned over and their spouse was dead in bed. We don't realize how short life can be. I have preached the funerals of all ages. I have preached the funerals of babies. I have preached the funeral of teenagers. I have preached the funeral of 20, 30, 40-year-olds, and I preached the funeral of aged people. It is amazing how we can become so preoccupied with things in life to forget our own brevity. You know, and Jesus makes it very clear that you and I have no idea how brief our life can be. And, you know, it's a reality that so many people spend hours thinking about things and how they can invest in things. And yet the call of Jesus to every one of his disciples is not to worry about things. If you are redeemed of God, you have a Father in heaven that has assumed the responsibility of the totality of your life. What does that mean? That means that he is going to meet every need of your life, bar none. If you need a spouse, he'll bring you a spouse. If you need a job, he'll bring you a job. If you're faithful, and I don't mean just sit on the couch and say, God, you bring me a wife and you bring me a job. No, that means that you're doing your diligent part. You're being faithful. You're being obedient. And so when it comes to the agenda of God, you know, the agenda of God was on the heart of Jesus. And so, you know, it ought to be on your heart. It ought to be on my heart. And Jesus said, I want to give you a directive, and this directive is not to worry. Second of all, if you look in that, he said, you know, Jesus is talking about becoming so obsessed with things down here that we become disturbed. It is amazing. I get intrigued at how so much emphasis that people put on their stuff. Buddy, nobody's going to get my stuff. And I hear how many people have it under lock and key. And man, I'll tell you what, somebody would have to take a bomb to get to my stuff. I mean, you know, they'd have to, because nobody is getting my stuff. And it is amazing how often we get obsessed. Well, you know, that's exactly what Jesus was pointing to. You know, countless numbers of believers worry about keeping, their things, their stuff. And when the truth about it is, it's going to pass away. You know, Bible says heaven and earth is going to pass away. But my word will never pass away. That gives you a good clue. This earth is going away someday. Now, it's going to be remade new, and scholars, some of the best scholars in the universe, have debated what exactly does that mean. But here's the reality. God has given you a directive. Jesus has given you a directive, and me a directive. We are not to worry. Why? Because he has already assumed the responsibility for your life and my life. And, you know, third, Jesus is making it clear that there's a point that even Christians can get so consumed with getting things to forget God. Why should you not worry? Because there is a great potential to get consumed. I see it happen all the time. I watch some people get so consumed, they can't come to church anymore. I just watch. I pray for them. I watch them. Well, how do you get consumed? Well, I like my job, so I work longer hours to please the boss. The longer hours pleases the boss, so it means that I have to miss the Lord's church. But that's all right, Lord. You understand, don't you? And then miss the Lord's church, and all of a sudden something begins to happen. A coldness begins to happen in our soul and in our spirit. And we don't read the Bible anymore, and we don't pray anymore, and all of a sudden a crisis comes in life, and all of a sudden that boss is given another job someplace else, and another boss comes in and says, you're fired. But I worked so long and so hard to get to where I am. You see, everything in life can go up in smoke in no time flat. You listen to some of those who were a part of the Bernie Madoff scheme. They didn't know what he was doing with their money, but I listened to a 70-year-old man say this, my wife and I are going to have to go back to work. Our savings is gone. He took Bill Gates and Warren Buffett for better than $45 million. And you see, Jesus is making it clear that we can become so involved with things that we forget how brief life is. Let me give you a little example, a little test. Think about somebody you know that's died your same age. I can tell you the first experience of being riveted with a death experience when I was a kid. I was in the sixth grade. And there was another sixth grader. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know her name. But here's what I knew. And this is how freakish things can happen and how quickly your life can be over. She was getting out of a car on Cumberland Avenue in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. She shut the door. She was taking a few steps. Nobody knew that the light above her was loose. She took a couple of steps, and the light came down on her head and killed her just like that. And she was 11 years old. You and I don't realize how brief our life is. You know, you remember the rich man that Jesus said, thou fool. You know, he said, I've got a whole lot laid up in store, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to say to myself, take thine ease, eat and drink, And Jesus said, the Lord God said, thou fool, for tonight, less than 24 hours, thou fool, your soul will be required of you. Sometimes in watching some of the old shows, you know what I'm talking about, the old shows like Gunsmoke, Bonanza, you know, with Little Joe and Hoss and but you know what I think about sometimes? And here, I think of this way. Dead, 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 dead. You see, Luke chapter 12, verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, the Bible says if you take money and hoard it up, somebody's going to come right behind you and just going to give all of it away. And that's really what happens. You find somebody that hoards it up, and they've got a family member that said, I'm so tired of my dad or my mom hoarding, I want to give it away. And all the energy that they expended to get all that, that money's probably gone in less than 4 or 5 years. A study was done some years ago, said if everybody was completely absolved of their debt, and if the rich people had no money, they would be rich again in 5 years. And the people who had their debts paid off, they'd be in debt again in 5 years, about the same spot. Well, second of all, there is to be no worry about our lives and our bodies. You know, first of all, Jesus gives a command. There's to be no worry. Why? Because what do you know is going to happen in the next 24 hours? Let's suppose, go back to September the 10th, 2001. We had no idea that better than 2,800 people, 3,000 or so, was going to end up dead. We had no idea of knowing. Those on the Titanic. And you and I have no idea of what a day holds. So Jesus said, you're not to worry. You're to spend your life, invest your life wisely, because it could be that the death angel comes for some of us before the night is over. We don't want to think about that. We do everything we can not to think about that. But here's the reality. Possibly somebody you know within the next week is going to die. And maybe be somebody close to you. Am I saying that to be negative? No, I'm just saying that you and I need to be very conscious and living in reality. And you know, second of all, there is to be no worry about our lives and our bodies. Listen, Jesus made it abundantly clear that the totality of our lives involves more than what we put in our mouth, more than what I put on my back. You are an eternal being. You cannot not live for all of eternity. And yet the reality is there are so many who become so obsessed with, you know, clothes. I read of one movie star one time, and I won't call his name, but he would not ever wear the same shirt, the same socks, the same outfit twice. That's what he would not do. You know, when we become consumed with eating and life in our body, we're consuming things upon our own lust. You know, what do you really need? Now, if some of you that are a little bit older, you say, buddy, I'll tell you what we really need. We don't have to have big screen TVs. Matter of fact, we don't have to have TV at all. Oh, I remember back when I was just a little kid, you know, we had the old black and white. I never will forget this. And please don't think I was a kid when I thought this. I thought, thank you, Lord, that I'm born in the colored days and didn't live back in the black and white days. I was just a little boy when I thought that. But think about it. Many of you didn't have TV when you was growing up. And you remember you got your first TV, first telephone, and you got those wonderful two or three channels. And the antenna went something like this. It's right outside, and you say, turn it a little more, a little more, a little more. Hold it right there. No, back the other way. And the wind would blow, and somebody would have to go back outside or back up on the hill. There, that's good, that's good. You remember that. And you see, the truth about it is, life changes so quickly. I mean, it literally changes overnight. I remember when I was a little kid, I thought, man, it'd be so nice to have a device that you could talk into and talk to somebody way over yonder. Lo and behold, they're here. And I had those old walkie-talkies. You know, you had about a 4-foot antenna, and you break your antenna and the walkie-talkie's done for. But Jesus is making it clear to his disciples. He's making it clear to you and me. When we consume things upon our own selves, upon our own desires, we're consuming it upon our own lust. Think about this a minute. What good would the Apostle Paul ever been if he was busy getting stuff? What good would John the Apostle been if he was busy getting stuff? It is amazing how we convince ourselves that we've got to have stuff, how we need stuff, when this is the very statement of Jesus' life and living on this earth. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nest. But the Son of Man has, anybody know the next word? Not a where to lay his head. And you see, here's the reality. Worry literally means we're refusing to lean our weight on Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. If the God of the universe, who made you, gave you life, gave you the ability to move and breathe with every single microsecond, and there are so many phenomena that is going on in your body right now, your blood is traveling. It's amazing at the speed of, that it's traveling. And your little DNA that's inside of you, it can go to the moon and back. If it was stretched out, I think it's 23 times to the sun, rather, 93 million miles away, if it was able to be taken apart. And so here's the point. Jesus is making it clear that you have a God who created you, and you have a God who knows all that you need. And the call of God is for us to realize that his claims and calls upon our life involve more than food or clothes. You know, it is so saddening and it's so sickening, but it's so true that so many people, all they want is, man, I just want a bigger and better. I want a newer car. I want more clothes. I want more of this. And you listen to those people and how empty they are. And you see, whenever you look and, you know, you look in this passage and you stop and think, don't you want to be rich toward God? Don't you want to be able at the end of your life to be able to stand in the presence of Jesus, and you will, and him have some things in a positive way to say about you outside of the fact that you had the latest clothes and the latest car and the latest things? And you see, in thinking about this and thinking about the Apostle Paul, I thought, where would the gospel not gone if Paul hadn't paid it out of his own pocket? Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. We have become obsessed with our stuff. We really have in our Christian culture. But Paul spent his money traveling wherever he needed to go so he could get the gospel out. I think if Paul was in our present day and time, he wouldn't understand why people don't give of themselves. We'll give a little dollar, a few here, a few there. And yet Jesus is giving you and me a directive. You know, when you and I are literally transformed by the gospel, there is something that happens. First of all, I realize that Jesus is mine. You know, we sing the song, but we don't hear the words. For example, blessed assurance, Jesus is, say it louder, mine. Now, you have a car out there, and it is yours. It's available to you to take you wherever you want to go. The Bible makes it very clear that we have a God who is our God. That doesn't mean he at every beck and call, but here's the reality. Whatever we need, whatever our circumstances are, he has made a commitment to meet those needs. And you see, you know, the thing about it is so many people just worry. They work longer hours to get more things and to get more stuff. They, you know, take jobs that take them away from their family, and they refuse to take a job of lesser income in order that they can be faithful to the family. It is amazing what we'll do in the name of money. And listen to what Jesus said. Take no thought. Well, Lord, you know that I need this job because I have to have. Now, this is going to get tight, going to get tense. How many of us have far more than we ever dreamed we would ever think we would have when we was a kid? Oh, man. I never thought I'd have carpet. Honest to you, I can remember getting up in the morning. Kids will understand this. You understand this. Getting ready for school, getting up about 6 o'clock and putting those feet out on the bare hardwood. And it would just run chills right up your back. And then to have 2 restrooms. Not just one. Listen, there at one time there were 7 of us in one house. And 1 bathroom. And now we've got 3 bathrooms and 2 and, you know, I mean, just think about the things that we have. And Jesus is making it clear. You know, the call of God in our life is that, you know, we live realizing eternity. You know, when a person is so worried about things here, let me tell you what happens. You've forgotten you're leaving. You are leaving. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're leaving this world someday, sometime. But when we live so consumed here, we have mentally forgot, number one, that our God's going to provide, and probably that we're leaving. Now, I'm not saying to go out and, you know, make arrangements. I'm not saying that. Don't hear me say that. But here's what we don't do enough. We don't live in reality. And, you know, Jesus declared that a person is a fool who focuses on the here and now. The rich man who had so much, he was focusing on the here and on the now. It never fails. Periodically, in my life as a pastor, I'll hear of somebody that died unexpectedly. For example, this past week, did you hear it? The governor's chief of staff died instantly of a heart attack. 62 years old, had no idea that it was coming. And one day's time, he's in eternity. And you see, the truth is, for most of us, life will be far shorter than what we thought. Because you may think you're going to live to be 90. You may think you're going to live to be 80. But yet, over your life, it may be 60 or 50 or 40. I say that to say this. You and I are called by God to live realistically and to live as Christians. What did Christ do? He always lived oriented toward the Father. Listen to what Jesus said. I must be about my Father's business. Well, if Jesus was about the Father's business, ought not Christians be about the Father's business? Ought not I be about the Father's business and you be about the Father's business? But yet you watch us and you look at us and we've got stuff galore. And it's amazing. Sometimes we don't even want to part with that stuff that we don't even need. And sometimes we don't have enough closet space to put any more because we have to throw away some of the stuff we've got. Thirdly, there's to be no worry because, and I love this one, the divine hand of God has assumed the obligations to meet our needs. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you can trust the Lord God. Now, I want to give you an example of trust. Dan Cock, come down here a minute. I'm going to trust Dan with something, and it's something very precious to me, very significant to me. Dan, you stand right there, right there. Don't let me fall. Okay. A little more, a little more. Now, listen to me real carefully. Okay. If he'd let me go, where would I have gone? Now, watch carefully. Trust. I'm leaning all my weight on him. I have my hands folded, and I've got my right foot up. Trust is leaning all your weight on someone so that if he fails, I fall. Thank you. Thank you for not letting me fall. And I think I saw somebody signal drop him. Do you understand what trust is? You don't realize how humbling it is to not have any control. But you see, trust is I lean all my weight on my Father so that if my Father fails me, I've fallen. And friend, I can tell you this, you can take that to the bank. You can ask God, I don't know what my life holds, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lean all of my weight on you so that if you fail me, I've fallen. And you know what? There'll be some times in your life you think, I don't know where this is going, and you'll feel like you're about ready. But here's the reality. Your Heavenly Father, the one who created the majesties of the universe, has already assumed the obligation to meet every need of your life. Watch what it says. You know, and Jesus makes it very clear. Listen to what he says about the birds of the air. He said, behold, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And most of us would answer no. Now, you wouldn't answer no verbally, orally, but you know what we say? I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. You don't have to do anything. If you are serious about trusting God, you can leave everything in His hands, and He will make sure that you get the best. Why? Because think about a moment. Do you think, I love my daughter, my daughter's in Monticello, and if she needed me right now and she said, Mom and Dad, my baby's on the way, I would say, we'll have prayer, I'm gone. Do you think that I would stand here and forget her and overlook her and say, well, honey, I'm sorry, I'm right in the middle of a church service. You know, you just gotta fend for yourself. That would be absolutely foolish. And yet a lot of times we just have this idea that our God don't have any desire to take care of us, to meet our needs, and so we don't even ask Him. So what we do is we manipulate, and we do this and this and this, and we try to manipulate that person to come into our life. Oh, don't you love me? I'm a good catch. You know, don't you want me? I'm the one for you, or this job, or that circumstance, or whatever it may be. And yet, here's the reality. Jesus is saying to His disciples, aren't you better than the birds? Evaluate your understanding and your belief of yourself before God. Here's what you don't understand. God thinks a whole lot more of you than you do. You don't think near enough of yourself because He created you and placed into you eternity. And you see, you and I are the highest creation of sovereign God. Not Mars, not Jupiter, not the planets. Let me give you a hint. Go to the book of Genesis and read how long it took for God to create the universe. And then from Genesis, to, I think, to about 3, and to the end of the Revelation, He talks only about man. Why? Because God talks 2 chapters, maybe 3, about His created world, and then the rest is about you and me. That should give you an understanding of how significant you are. You see, a lot of times when we pray, we really pray defeated. God, would you please hear my prayer? That's not the way God does. Father, thank you that all my help is on its way from heaven. Whatever you know I need today. And you see, Jesus made it clear. You and I, as children of God, if you're a child of God, there is no question. A bird, you know, they're fun to watch. And they're pretty exciting sometimes. I went in the house the other day, and I'll tell you, and I know you'll not tell anybody else about this. I never thought I'd do this. I was sitting outside, and I was on the bed of my truck, and I was painting some things, and all of a sudden I heard this hawk, hawk. And I looked around, and I was being bombed by a hawk. And about the time that I ducked, it pulled up. The only thing that I could figure, it thought my hat was a little animal. And it pulled up about the time that I ducked. I've watched that hawk a few times since then. But listen to what your Father says. Answer the question, are you more important? Do you believe in your mind and in your spirit you are important to the Father? You see, I tell you, it challenges and it changes your praying life when you get in your mind, my dad runs the world. I can affect anything and any place in this world because my dad runs this place. My Father owns all that is, so I have a hearing before my Father anytime I bow my head. I don't know if you believe that. I believe that in my life. So when you and I pray, when we pray effectively when we're believing. And so Jesus makes it very clear. And he said, you know, we're a child of God. Look at what it says. He said, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say, you're God? He says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus, why did you say Father? He said, I want you to get it in your mind, he's your dad. I want you to get it in your spirit that he is your Father, and the Father who created us and gave us eternal life when we believed in Jesus listens to us when we pray. And we've had some wonderful answers to prayer here as of late. Amen. We've seen our Father and our God move because we've asked. And so, you know, it's always the obligation. Now, you don't have to believe this, but I'm telling you, it'll change your life when you. It is God's obligation to meet absolutely every need of your life, bar none. So let me ask you this. What can worry add to God? You're going to meet all my needs. Father, you're going to meet all my needs. I don't know, there's not been many days that I've not gone, that I've not prayed for a good delivery for my daughter and her soon-to-be daughter, my granddaughter. And so God says, you know, he'll meet all of those needs. And the thing about it is, here's what he wants you to understand. I and you are heirs of God. Now let me ask you a question. What would you do if somebody walked in this door and right now and they said, you know what? I need to talk to about three or four people in here because so-and-so died, had a multi-million dollar estate, and you're an heir. You know, now, you're not acting excited because nobody's walked in the door and called your name. But I guarantee you, if somebody came in and said, Randy Gray, you've got a, you know, a great uncle, or you've got an uncle, and he left $14 million to you, Randy would say, thank you. No, he wouldn't say thank you. You couldn't hold him down. You couldn't keep him in this building and he'd be out and say, where do I need to go? Who do I need to see? Why? Because he realizes he is an heir. You are an heir, and you haven't got an idea, neither do I, what God has in store for us. Now, these are just words because you have a hard time, we're going to have the privilege of running the universe in the next dimension of life. We really are. You say, well, I'm not much into running things. I'm sorry, that's the family business. Our dad runs the universe, and that's what we get. And you see, so why do you worry in the here and now? Worrying about your bills? Can't the God who created everything take care of a $49.95 bill? But you need to ask this question, am I being faithful, or is this happening as a byproduct of rebellion and disobedience? But here's the reality. Jesus said, don't worry about a single thing because you belong to God and he belongs to you. Father, thank you so much that you promise to meet all of our needs. It's not possible, possibly, maybe, hope so. It is an absolute divine reality. The issue that affects us is, what do we believe? What do we think? Where is our mind? Because you said, he that doubts is like the wave on the sea. He won't get anything. But Lord, when we realize that you're our dad, and that Father, you move heaven and earth for us, not because we know a lot, not because we've arrived, but because we're your children. Father, thank you. And Father, thank you for your word, for speaking to our hearts. And may we walk this week living as though Our Father runs the world because you do. And Father, you said we're heirs to this world that you run. We didn't say that. You did. Thank you, Father. And I pray for that person who's struggling right now, that's maybe in a need, someone here who's worrying about something, someone that's concerned about some situation. Help them to see your absolute, overwhelming, loving concern. In Jesus I pray. Amen.